is tape recording number 6608 CO2, a lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard on the 2nd of August, 1966. The title of this lecture is Suppressives and GAEs.
Thank you. What's the date?
August
6th. Well, Susie knows it, but the rest of you don't seem to know the date. What's the date? That's correct. 2 August, 8016. Now, we have lots of subjects we can always talk about. We have lots of tapes on them. But we obviously never have enough. For some peculiar reason, why the qual sec and so forth have trouble with a scarcity of materials on some of these subjects. That's quite obvious, because they keep getting committed or omitted. Now, there's two types of crime. There's the crimes of commission and the crimes of omission. And in modern society, they pay very little attention to the crimes of omission. The penalty is usually awarded to a person really for two reasons. One is for being there, and the other is for communicating. Now, that is the normal penalty in this society. If you want to reduce any crime down, why... It was basically composed of those two elements, being there and communicating. But there are crimes of not being there and not communicating, too. The society doesn't pay much attention to these. But the auditor not being there and the auditor not carrying out his communications is a crime of the highest order, because he's now barring the road. Now, it used to be that people were, they expected me to prove Dianetics and Scientology to them, and sort of carry along the full responsibility for its workability, and when it didn't work, it was my fault, and I should have done it better, and so on. Well, you probably expect changes in levels 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and all that sort of thing. I got an awful surprise for you, I'm not changing one comma in nothing. Now, we've gone from the total change, to total no change, just to make a proper dichotomy. So, the materials now are just right there. But today, I really speak from considerable strength, because we have such a thing as clear, and when you clip a clear on the ear, he rings for an hour without stopping. They're that clear. And everything that was predicted up to the level of clear has more than been made good. Now, what's very peculiar is the road to clear in its stages from WOG to grade 4. Pardon me, raw meat to grade 4. A WOG is somebody who isn't even trying. The total jump there is very fast. That is a very fast jump. And that is one of the troubles of the lower grades, and the thing that you as an auditor will have the most trouble with. It happens too quick. Now, there are some processes which are not in the lineup, which would be so quick, well, I don't dare put them in the lineup, The auditor is busy adjusting his meter, and he doesn't notice the guy went release. So we've omitted those. And 212 is one of them. Marvelous process. the most fascinating processed overrun that anybody ever heard of. I mean, it wraps the person around more telegraph poles in less times. When I got that, I said, this is really it, man. People said, well, if that's really it, let's really audit it. But we have today such a fast route that it's only by additives, goofing it up, and particularly the gross GAEs, the gross auditing errors, that can stop somebody from going. So in actual fact, it becomes a real crime now to audit badly, because you're barring the road for this fellow for eternity. That's quite a long time. Now, any Thetan wants out. Even the SP himself personally wants out, only he, unfortunately, is sure that you are simply trying to put him in. You see, he knows he belongs in. And he is very easily described as somebody who is totally surrounded by Martians, regardless of who you are. You see, he's stuck in an incident which has personnel. It had nothing to do with present time, but all that personnel is in present time, and you are that personnel. So that, of course, you have to be held down. Because if you got big and strong and powerful, you being a Martian, or being an FBI agent, or being something else, would, of course, do him in. So therefore, he commits almost continuous crimes in an effort to hold people down. Now, there's a tendency on the part of ethics that every time somebody commits a lot of GAEs and so forth, to declare them suppressing. Now, I should make it rather clear that a suppressive is a special breed of cat. He is not hard to identify, in actual fact. He is somebody with no case gain. Well, you say, that's very hard. If somebody does not get better with Dianetics or Scientology auditing, then you immediately say that he is no good. Well, interpret it that way if you like. It's okay with me. I'm impervious to criticism. But anyway, a suppressive, being a very particular breed of cat, will, of course, commit nothing but and do nothing but GAEs and cannot be pressed into auditing at all. They won't audit at all. Now, because somebody makes a few GAEs, that doesn't make them a suppressive, do you follow? But it does happen to be true that a suppressive would never audit. He would only commit GAEs. All you'd have to do would be describe to him how to make the gross auditing error so as to keep it from working, and you instantly and immediately would have on your hands nothing but GAEs. Because he then would be able to mask himself by saying, you see, I'm trying my best to audit these people, and they still don't get any better, so therefore I am right, and Hubbard is wrong, and the rest of you guys are for the birds. Do you see? And therefore it doesn't work, and there isn't any way to make them any stronger, and if we can just get rid of this, then I'm safe. Now, that's his whole philosophy. If he can get rid of any method of making anybody stronger or more powerful, then he's got it made. So he, of course, rewards only down statistics. You see, only a down statistic gets rewarded, never reward an up statistic. And goof up or vilify any effort to help anybody, and particularly knife with violence anything calculated to make human beings more powerful or more intelligent. Now, the main trouble with Scientology in Southern Africa is they're terrified that I may teach it someday to the Africans. So that makes them very, very, very nervous. That's the truth. I've had it said to me several times. Wouldn't that be awful to have intelligent Africans? Now, a suppressive automatically and immediately will curve then any betterment activity into something evil or bad. If you let him have auditing, he would then use a pattern like the GAEs to audit. You see? But once more, I tell you that not everybody who makes GAEs is pressing. Now, a GAE, special breed cat, no case game. I mean no case game. Now, I would coax registrars into being alert to this, and they'd save us fantastic amounts of trouble. Because something on the order of 2.5 persons out of every 100 who walk in the streets are screaming, museum piece, institution bait, suppressives. They're the people who put the people in institutions. People in institutions are really PTS, potential trouble sources, with the effect of suppressives. Suppressives are very seldom picked up. They know better than to get obvious. Now, a suppressive makes no case gain and will sit there and brag about it. And I can't resist bragging about it. And any registrar who had somebody come in and say, well, I've had 3,500 hours of processing, or 1,000 hours of processing, or every auditor in Seattle, and they haven't had any results on me so far, and I've still got this terrible lumbosis, and I've come here to find out if you could do anything for me, and I want to sort of a guarantee that you can. At that moment, if I were the registrar, knowing my technology, I would say, you bet. Now, you've had a lot of trouble with auditors. Now, before we sign you up, you had better go and see the ethics officer. Let him trot over to the ethics officer, and then an ethics officer should be very fully aware of what this is all about. He's not complaining. Anybody has a right to complain about one auditor, but this guy will complain about them all. He has other characteristics which are quite marked, and it's really an interesting breed of cat. If you ever got him auditing, he will only be happy or satisfied if his pre-clear gets worse. And he's only sad when the PC gets better. And that characteristic was what spotted us suppressives years and years and years ago. So this is very peculiar. We'd notice here and there, once in a blue moon, we would have somebody exhibiting these characteristics. And the rest of the characteristics was that he himself got no case gain of any kind whatsoever. And he committed nothing but GAEs and could be educated into nothing else but committing errors. And we eventually traced these people as to what they did and how they behaved. And the monitoring fact was no case gain. Now, there are a bunch of ramifications to this, but these do not make a suppressive. A suppressive is an active attack on Scientology. He commits overts 24 hours a day. You almost never find out about them. Every auditor in Seattle has audited me. I didn't make any case gain. Yeah, they took my money and they did me in. I'll come off of it. I couldn't have that many Scientologists working on one person without a case gain. It's impossible. Well, he would have had some gain at some time or another. You know now that that person also privately commits overts. Secret overts in the society around him. It isn't usually a nasty habit like strangling babies or something like that, but it could be. Spitting at other people's beer, you know, something. Just another characteristic. Another characteristic is attacks wrong targets. If the fridge is making a great deal of noise, the Americans refridge is English for ice box or fridge. Anyway, if the fridge is making a lot of noise and it's annoying him, he'll go over and kick the lamp. If the car has a flat tire, he will fix the motor. In addition to that, he will not complete a cycle of action, but if he occasionally does complete a cycle of action and finds out about it, he will then reverse it. You get the idea? He found out that he accidentally completed a cycle of action. See, he delivered the goods or something. He will immediately reverse it. Now, those continuous overts, wrong target, non-completions of cycles of action, are primary manifestations, and when accompanied with no case gain, you pretty well got the boy tagged. Now, at no time during this lecture have I said that all existing governments on the planet today reward down statistics, choose wrong targets, fail to complete cycles of action, or commit continuous overts. I have not said that. And your inference on that subject is your own responsibility. Well, now, if you, in auditing, find yourself up against somebody who can't make any case gain, and you are doing your best, now, don't be a fool as an auditor. Take this thing on an ethics basis. Tech is out because it isn't working. So your other tool that comes before tech is ethics. Now you as an auditor can actually be an ethics officer, which I think is quite interesting that you have to be every now and then. And you should know some of the technology of ethics. It isn't just rooting somebody to the ethics officer. You yourself, every now and then, are going to find yourself sitting there as a cop. Well, much more superior to a cop than the ethics officer. You're going to have to know how to locate overts. How to locate overts that are so unreal they don't even show on a normal meter. You're going to have to be able to locate all kinds of things on a meter or in life concerning your PC. Now, where you run up against a total blank, you obviously can't get tech in, huh? You see? I mean, no gain. So therefore, your other weapon is ethics. And that comes before tech. Now, what's the matter with the planet at this particular time is ethics is out. And that is proven by the fact that you are having a hard time getting tech in. With the technology which you know at this particular moment and the results which you are delivering even at lower levels, you have a total monopoly of all mental activities, all religious activities, and all social activities on this planet. That is what you're entitled to at this moment. Do you have them? Well, therefore, tech is out. Obvious? So, the only thing that puts tech out is if ethics is out. The only thing that can get tech in is ethics. Now, ethics is based on the mechanics of the SP, the suppressive person, the mechanics of the SP. Now, if you were to audit one of these heads of governments who's always choosing wrong targets and not completing cycles of action and committing these little overts, like brush wars or something, if you were to put him in the audit chair, you would find he would not respond to processing. No matter what you called it, no matter what reason you had to do it, he wouldn't respond to processing. He's expressive. Now, he isn't going to do what you say as an auditor, because you, of course, are a Martian like everybody else. You're his favorite bugbear, a representative of, sitting there. You're not trying to help him. You're trying to trick him. You're trying to trick him into letting down his protective mechanisms long enough so that you can stab him in the back. That's his whole opinion of life. And that is what you would find in the driver's seat. That is what you would find. Now, as long as that sort of bloke is in the driver's seat, now, nothing in this lecture invites anyone to war, civil commotion, or rebellion, assassination, or other political activities. But if you were to get ethics in, you would just have to get ethics in. Now, ethics isn't gotten in on a wide police state basis. It's gotten in on a very narrow basis. It's just a very occasional individual here and there who is in power. Now, the other part of the ethics picture is called a PTS, who is a potential trouble source. And if you don't think that a potential trouble source doesn't cause trouble, you should look along the line, because the trouble is great, numerous, and so on. Causes much more apparent trouble than the SP. So you very often think that you are looking at an SP who is simply causing trouble, to find yourself looking in actual fact at a potential trouble source. Now, the person is a potential trouble source because he's connected to the SP. He has not handled or disconnected from the SP, and as long as he does not either handle or disconnect, he will continue to be a potential trouble source, no matter how thoroughly he explains it otherwise. Now, a potential trouble source is interesting to us as far as technology is concerned, in that he roller coasters. Now, a roller coaster is something they have on Coney Island and other places. And down in Long Beach, they used to have one called the Rabbit Eight, and so on. It's these little railways that go up in the sky and have terrific dips in amusement parks, you see. And the little cars go up and the little cars go down, and that's a roller coaster. And the PC who goes up and the PC who goes down is roller coastering. And please don't think he's doing anything else. He hasn't done anything else at all but roller coaster when he comes back in after the session and says, I felt fine yesterday afternoon, but this morning I have a terrible stomachache. He's roller coastered. Now, during that period of time when that PC was out of sight, an SP was either directly contacted or re-stimulated. Now, a person didn't have to see the SP, but only had to see something that reminded him of the SP. SP is a postman. He sees a letterbox. That's enough. He goes PTS, potential trouble source. So he roller coasters. Now, this person is going to endlessly cause you, as an auditor, trouble. You're going to get them up 3 inches in the session, and they will fall back 4 in life. And it is terrible to audit them. We're not being extreme. Actually, we're auditing over the dead body of some SP, valence or person. We're auditing across something which is going to kill this fellow if he gets any better. If, for instance, your PC, who is PTS, were to demonstrate an intelligence graph which went from 90 to 131, there's every possibility that he'd wake up the next morning very dead from arsenic. I mean, you're actually putting his life at risk. That's why you mustn't audit them, not because they're trouble to you. You're going to kill them. They're going to get sicker and sicker. More and more extraordinary effort is going to be applied to making this person ill. Sad, but true. Now, therefore, you are very interested in this thing called a potential trouble source. because a potential trouble source will give you trouble. A roller coaster won't get better, and it's a terrible liability to audit them. A liability to yourself personally, a liability to them. If all of a sudden they made a sweeping gain, they'd likely be met with a .45 caliber pistol. I'm not joking. Now, as fast as auditing is today, it really isn't fast enough to make the total grade against the SP, because there's that better part of a year to clear. Now, you could make the lower grades. You got the person for a week. You can make all the lower grades in a week. See? You work real hard and you do a real good job and the person's responding okay and they're out of a restimulative environment. And that's why you see so many grade fives and six cave in. You're not making it fast enough to keep them away from the suppressive environment. So they get up to five, and they're going to have a long time to go before they're six, and so you see fives collapse. Do you see? They're PTS. And that was because an undetected suppressive is in this person's environment, and the person who's moved out of his common environment, and you audited this person, and in the process of auditing this person, you got them. Grade four release. Great day, fine. Oh, yes, they're not going to have this much trouble. Yes, during that period of release, they might even get wise to their environment. All kinds of things might be okay, but they walk out of that and remember this person's only a release. This person is still very mortal. Terrific shape. Better than any activity was ever. Actually, grade zero is better than any activity in the past ever got to. They can still be hit head-on by the truck, and don't think they aren't if they have a real live SP in their vicinity. Boy, that guy gets right into the General Sherman tank and throws all fuel on the fire. Bam! And so you get more grade 5 trouble. Grade 4, they went away, got re-stimulated. Now you come back, they're all set. Now you've got to rehabilitate them and so forth. And it takes a while to get through grade 5, and you start to run into your trouble if there's an SP in this person's vicinity. Grade 6, you'll run into more trouble. And possibly anybody's lagging on the clearing course is simply very PTS and so forth. But actually, the clearing course, if a person follows procedure and does grit his teeth and try to handle or disconnect his environment, he can make it through. I have. I'm making it through very nicely. Well, I'm connected with some SPs, known as governments and so on. They have long since made up their minds that we should be shot and pilloried and that sort of thing. I'm just, wrong target. I'm just hoping that they will get very mad at somebody else. But the point I'm making is that it's at about grade 6, which is the make-break point. You could somehow or other start persevering through if you were a very superior Thetan at about grade 6. You know, so there's SPs, so I'm PTS. I'll make it somehow. But I don't think it would be possible in grade 5. Now, the answer to that is what we call an S&D, search and discovery. And when you're running an S&D, you're doing an ethics job. And you know assessment isn't auditing, and an S&D is an assessment. This fellow who says he doesn't do assessments well because he has GAEs during assessment and so forth. How could you have a GAE during an assessment? It's a gross auditing error. You can't have GAEs during assessment unless you were auditing, which is against the law. You see, assessing comes much closer to being an ethics action than a technical action. Because it's finding the suppressives, finding the PTS, it's patching up the ARC breaks caused by life and the environment, you see. actually, those people have impinged on the individual. So therefore, the auditor had better realize that these techniques, there are some techniques, such as the search and discovery, S&D, search and discovery for the suppressive, and ARC break, are not auditing actions at all, but ethics actions. So therefore, you have to be a bit of an ethics officer, don't you? Well, let's continue it out just a little bit further. And let's let you recognize when you are not getting any case gains while doing your best. And don't keep cutting your throat. Start taking an ethics action. Now, the ethics action that be taken against a potential trouble source or PTS, somebody connected with a suppressive, the ethics action that can be taken with regard to that person is to do a search and discovery. You sometimes will have trouble with your search and discovery because you haven't handled the ARC break before you did it. You say the guy looks like he has a suppressive around. Well, suppressive's also ARC break, people. And you mustn't even do an assessment on an ARC broken person. You must get the ARC break first. Anybody who looks a little bit sad has had an ARC break for a long time. He's going into the sad effect. Now, where your auditing will break down in the lower grades is on a rock known as the SP. And what can you do about him? He's got no case gain. He has no potential of case gain. You are sitting there, a Martian. You audit him. He tells you that you have made his finger better. He runs immediately next door and says that you're a jip and a fraud and ought to be killed. He spreads wild tales about you around the neighborhood. He's perfectly nice to your face, chops you up behind your back. You get the idea? That is not a characteristic of an SP. It's because you've tried to help him that has made him mad at you. Other people also talk behind other people's back because we're not all brave. But what can you do for this fellow? What can you do for this fellow? Well, now the only known action, and there is one, that can be taken with an SP is the last power process. And that will handle an SP if you can get him to sit still and answer the auditing questions. But you mustn't run it until some other processes have been seen to fail. Do you follow? Now, where can you get that done? Well, you can get that done in an organization which is qualified to run power processing. And where I trust they have an auditor who can do it very well, and where I also trust they have a registrar who, as soon as the person sits down and says, everybody in Seattle has audited me and they've gotten no results at all, will promptly call for the ethics officer and chuck the fellow out onto the street. Well, you say that's... Hey, wait a minute. You just said that this power process would handle a guy, and you're saying that he really couldn't get in to register. Well, until such time as you run the mental hospitals, throw him out in the street, because he's the maddest hatter of them all. He's the real psycho. You actually have to put him in something like a padded cell. You'd say, well, you answer the next auditing command and you can have your dinner. Three days later, you give him his dinner. But you're not equipped to handle this guy. But I'm saying that a person who gets no case gain could, in a well-handled HGC, whose auditors know their business on power processing, could, in actual fact, be audited up the line and out and squared around. Now, when you've audited him on that, remember, you haven't made a grade 5 release. This condition, by the way, is often mistaken. You audit grade 5 processes, but the person hasn't been bridged up to those processes. And when you've audited the grade 5 processes, you've got somebody who is prepared to do a lower grade release. You haven't got a grade 5 release. You've got somebody who can now be audited to grade 0. So therefore, don't be so surprised sometime when you run into somebody who's been audited on grade 5 processes and who doesn't seem to be able to talk. You see that? Power processes are circular. But until such time as you've got very legal control of your environment, and until such time as you've got available padded cells, and you can handle everything that goes wrong and so forth, you'd be terribly wise to have a registrar who, the second somebody says, well, I've been out in California, and I've been audited by everybody in California, and the organization out there charged me $18,000, and I got no place, and I've never had any case gains and that sort of thing. If you have a smart registrar, the smart registrar would instantly say, well, you just go over and tell ethics about it, because I'm very sure they'd like to hear all these complaints about these auditors. And then if you've got a clever ethics officer, the ethics officer listens to all this and sorts it out and finds out whether or not this is an actual complaint, if there aren't just one or two auditors that made a goof, or whether this guy really has been audited well and didn't make any case gains. That's what the ethics officer's got to decide. And if the ethics officer decides that this is an SP, you're taking your life in your hands to put that person into the HGC. But now, you say, well, that's a pretty cruel line to take, and we are very helpful persons. Well, someday, when you haven't anything better to do, go down in the jungle and find a wounded water buffalo who is stuck in a hole, and go over barehandedly to help him out. And if you go through that elementary exercise, you will, I think, understand what I am talking about. Because that's what's going to happen. You're going to get gored. Now, these people can be broken up pretty quickly. The only mistake they ever make in an HGC is running the preliminary power processes. You don't. You just saw right in, blammo. Now, all of this preamble is to give you a taste of what ethics is all about. Ethics is not our effort to make ourselves right and the rest of the world wrong. That is not that activity. It's not our service facsimile. It's how we're getting in tech. Now, we do. Organizationally, we have a tendency to be snappy and choppy with ethics and do this and that. But the reason for that is we're slightly introverted because we're a bit PTS against the environment around us. We cannot depend on the governments or societies in which we exist to have any caliber or quality of justice or anything like that. On the one hand, the ethics officer is trying to protect the organization from the consequences of SPs and PTSs. And on the other hand, is trying also to bring about the justice which we so liberally pay for with income tax. And nobody gives us. There isn't any legal protection out there. If it's a jungle, it's because ethics are out, not because man is bad. It might interest you how an SP comes about. He's already got enough overts to deserve more motivators than you can shake a stick at. He has done something to dish one and all in. He's been a bad boy. Now, the reason he got to be a bad boy was by switching valences. He had a bad boy over there, and he then, in some peculiar way, got into that bad boy's valence. Now, he knows what he is. He's a bad boy. Man is basically good, but he mocks up evil valences and then gets into them. You see, he says the other fellow was bad. The other fellow was bad. The other fellow was bad. See? And eventually he got this pasted-up other fellow, and one day he becomes the other fellow, see, in a valence shift or personality, whole complete package of personality. And there he is. And so he's now an evil fellow. He knows how he's supposed to act. He's supposed to act like the other fellow. That's the switcheroo. That's how evil comes into being. The religionists have been very having a hard time trying to solve what evil was, and that is what evil is. It's the declaration or postulate that evil can exist. In the absence of postulates and the declaration of such, man is good. And interesting. When you take all of the furniture polish off and all the cast iron and old garbage and so forth out, you find a good person. That's very lucky because we're making very powerful persons. It's very fortunate that they're good persons. Quite interesting as a mechanism. It would not be safe to embark upon such an activity as Scientology at all. You'd wreck the whole universe if that truth wasn't a truth. And it is a truth. It is the false mocked up valence, which is the evil valence. Do you follow? All right. Well, this fellow has been assigning great evilness to another personality or type of personality. And then one day he got into it. And then when he was in this basically evil personality, he started doing other people in. And then other people got very tired of him, something of the sort. And he got himself into an incident after which time never advanced. Now, this is not the type of incident of which the R6 bank is composed. This is another type of incident. This is a battle incident or some kind of an incident. He is being attacked. He's being actively attacked by other beings. And he is stuck on the track. Now, that portion of the time track, or that point in time, is more real than present time. Now, every once in a while, you will be sliding around in Dianetic auditing, and once in a blue moon, you will suddenly have the incident. Well, you, all the time running one with just your interest on it, the incident is more real in the environment in which you are, and so on. But you once in a while will run into an incident which is far, far, far more real than any reality you ever experienced. There it is, boy. Now, anybody's got a few of these. He isn't permanently stuck in them.